All right, welcome everybody to the October 13, 2015 Finance and Facility Committee meeting. I want to start with reviewing and approving of the minutes from August 24, 2015 and September 14, 2015.
I'm good with them.
Yeah. Good? Both sets? All right, so those will be approved and posted. Let's move into the comparative compensation study. This is the TRS study that Lori has been working on based off of the feedback board members gave her on which school districts to study. So with that, I'll hand it to Lori.
There were 10 districts that you asked me to contact, and I was able to get data from 9 out of the 10. Worked to make contact with the last one on multiple occasions and just was not able to get the information in time for tonight's meeting, or actually at all. So we have 9 out of 10. So what I put together for you is, I started with this, I'm sorry, this is a large sheet. This is a benefit comparison, so I kind of broke it into
like
two.
Large sheet.
Very large sheet.
That's what we use it
for. Two different scenarios. This is, starts with the benefits comparison. So it took the districts, and you'll see information on the left-hand column about grade span. And then across the top, really attempted to think about all the different benefits that districts do offer to administrators and who does what. So you can kind of follow down a column over the three pages, and I did have the header repeat at the top so you don't have to line them back up again to see what different districts are doing and what they're offering from that standpoint.
Which was a district that didn't report? Are you going to get information from?
At Lombard 44. Yeah. And that's on the list, but it's going across the side.
Yeah.
And then the other piece that I pulled together was then I pulled the compensation piece, which is salary, and I pulled it by positions. So I tried to think of positions that are common across districts. Assistant superintendent, elementary principal, elementary assistant principal, a certified director, a non-certified director, a principal at the middle or junior high school, and assistant principal at the middle or junior high school. And that's on this next sheet. And so I did a low salary and a low per diem, because remember, salary is one piece, but there are different districts that have different work calendars for different groups of people. So put a per diem, and then high salary, high per diem. And then I put the years of experience next to the high salary, listed the school district for the low and the high, and then I put our range within G41, our low and our high for all of those positions. And one other thing just to note on that compensation comparison, there were a couple of districts where the board did not pay TRS. And so if they were one here on the low or the high, I backed that out. So it was hopefully more of an apples to apples comparison. So you weren't looking at something that was,
Could you say that again?
So if a district, for example, one of the districts where the board does not pay TRS on top of the salary is Glenview 34. And you'll see one of the salaries listed on here, but that's not the contract salary. The contract salary is actually 9.4% greater than that. I backed it out so we could compare to the others, because the other ones on this list did. Now, there were also two districts where the board paid 9.0 of the 9.4, so I backed out the 0.4%. Again, just trying to be equal in terms of the comparison.
So for the assistant principal junior high middle school, for the high salary, Glenview 34 is the high salary, but they're actually higher than what that is because of the TRS
bursa.
Correct.
Okay.
For principal.
Got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So, Lori, I'm just trying to understand. So, if the question from Dean was for Glenview, as an example,
right?
Oh, I got you. Okay. No, I was reading that one. I was looking at that as a double asterisk.
Okay.
Okay. Because they're a no on the...
Right.
Okay.
So if you were to look up that person's contract amount, it would be higher. But again, I tried to back it up to try and make it equal when you were looking at the February.
And all the rest of these, they pay the TRS.
On here.
Oh, I guess where it's starred.
Right. Wheaton and Kildare pay 9.0 of the 9.4. And Glenview on here does not pay the 9.4.
So did you, there's, if there was this difference, like 50% for Hinsdale, or then you know you take that percentage and do the same to the salary?
No, I did not.
Okay. But that would be, if this is 2.0%.
I'm going to look to Becky on that.
Becky's okay.
Maybe help me out.
So lower percent.
It is. I have
to go look at it. Okay. Okay. I don't know. 0.97
maybe,
Becky?
Different
about right? I was going to
say 85,
but yeah. Well, it would be another salary adjustment.
Right.
Maybe apples to apples.
What's the annuity column?
Some districts will offer an annuity to administrators where they'll make a contribution to a 403D.
Oh, that's a 403D?
So in this case, Kildare 96, that's it.
This range from 8.
28. It's modest. It's very modest.
In the Hinsdale column for on the benefit side,
yes.
Professional conference travel, and it looks right. Like the high set.
Too many characters, no.
Okay.
That was a printing piece. If I can get that too. The number of characters exceeded the size of the cell. I should have made that cell a little higher. $3,000.
So $3,000 for professional conferences?
Right. That's what that pound sign is. There's a series of pound signs.
Yeah. You said Lombard 44 didn't respond?
Correct. I was able to get a little bit of the data from them, but there, I'd have to make some assumptions. Like, I didn't get confirmation on the TRS, CHIS, which would have impacted some things. So, right. And I didn't have all the salaries. I had some, which I could get from either the website or a study that's done with the Lombard feeders.
Okay. So, for this list, there's 11 on here. Lombard didn't respond, so there's 10. We're one of the 10.
Correct.
So then there's 9 that aren't us, and out of those 9, 2 don't pay TRS.
Correct.
And did you get salary information from the 2 that don't pay TRS?
I did. And I tried to summarize the high and the low on here.
So then she adjusted her salary.
Right.
Well, yeah, so the question is, do they pay what would be equivalent to our creditable salaries or that range?
I would say Glenview would pay in that range, potentially even a little bit more. Indian Prairie, which is the other district, is more in the middle of the group.
Okay.
Glenview has three of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 high salaries and none of the low salaries.
Yeah, so and yeah, as you look across...
The principal, has, like, as one of them has 24 years of experience, so he's been there for a long time.
Right.
So I suspect that we have a principal for 24 years. So.
Glenview also... Looks like Glenview also pays the expenses for the professional conference travel. They pay all of it, and that they have tuition reimbursement as well.
Correct.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lori, what's per diem? Is it just your salary divided by day, the number of days?
Number of work days.
Number of work days.
Getting information to the board members that aren't here on this.
Yeah, we can't. We literally just got it done a couple hours ago.
So
yeah, I'm not picking on you. Just making sure.
Yeah, we'll make sure everybody gets in.
I'm going to call right now.
Lori, when I look at this, you have low and high. Do you have an average?
I did not average. Because I asked for the, I didn't ask for all of the salaries. I asked for their low and for their high.
Okay. Well, that's good. And on the low, did you tally the years of experience too?
I didn't tally. I have it. I didn't.
Do you know on the 403B annuity contribution, do you know, is that for all the administrators, do you know, or was that just for the superintendent, or?
I didn't collect data on superintendent. I did collect on the positions that are listed there.
Okay.
So...
say in that particular case what the match was?
I think it's a certain amount per year. I can ask and double check.
I'm just curious. I'm curious because they reduced. They're one that's at the 9%.
Right.
I'm just curious if they make a percent up on the annuity in the annuity.
Yeah. Would you like me to find that out first?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the end of the world, but if it's an easy enough email.
Okay. Give it a go.
average salary here. I mean, some of the low salaries are far below what they pay. So. I mean, Carroll Springs at $85,000, and our low is $130,000. So. I don't know if that anything's even close. Well, so I surmise we're starting our principals off.
What was the Carroll Stream high? You got highs and lows. What was their high?
Their high was 115. Comparison, the star and the double star.
Yep.
So if there's, this is their salary less the TRS payment, but on their contract, the TRS payment is built into their salary, like their.
So if you were to look at their contract, it would be a higher amount if I backed out the 9.4 for this.
Okay. But not all contracts, the ones that don't have the star, have the TRS paid for in the.
The board pays.
I was trying to make them even.
So, right. But, so the ones with the star are just, those aren't the only districts that TRS is paid for. It's just, it's in their contract. I don't know, kind of understand.
Those are the districts where the board, does not pick up and pay on behalf of the administrator a TRS.
Okay.
But, like, for example, the salary of a principal at the junior high school in Glenview 34, their contract amount is much higher than what you're seeing here. I backed out the 9.4%. So their contract amount would be this amount plus 9.4%.
And why, by way of example, you have $165,000 for the principal. That's the one you just referred to. So the real gross salary for that person is whatever, 181.
Yeah. Yep.
She's just trying to apples as fast as she can.
So we're up, but the ones that don't have a star, those
have full TRS.
Yeah.
If, from my perspective, I think this is what I'm thinking. Thanks for the question. I like to see everyone's high and low. I like more data from these better, but just the backup data. Just if we, the board members, if other board members don't want to look at it, it's fine. For your summary sheet on the low side of the salary, I'd like to see the year's experience, which we discussed. I think. You know, depending on what everybody else thinks, we get time to digest this. Maybe at the next board meeting, we make it an agenda 2 weeks from now, and we can have discussion on it. This gives us time to maybe do it right away. So we get, especially if we're asking Lori to go get more data for that meeting, let's do it this week. Get her questions and our requests by Friday, and then in 2 weeks we have a meeting. Put it on the agenda. We can have full discussion with a full audience and video cameras and the whole nine yards. So, that guy's anything?
Finance committee, you're good with it?
Patrick, you good?
Yeah. Where's the actual dollar amounts on our budget? Where's the requirements?
Say the
in
question
line
again.
Item, in our line item.
So under each department. So.
We have one. It's, but it isn't a number. It's probably going to be under the
education
fund, right? Employee benefits?
Under salary, and I'd have to go back and look at the
details. Yeah, we bifurcated the two, so I'm assuming it's going to be benefits. Okay. So, do I take up and do you have a chance to?
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't build it, but. So,
100 days doesn't go very far.
Yeah, right? So if I take the line item first wrote Glenn Allen 41, that should equal 4.5 million.
Sure.
Okay. I know you weren't around.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what you're saying. Yeah, no,
okay.
See what you're getting at.
Well, I can look at that for the next meeting also. So.
Please could you.
So we'll move this to the full board in 2 weeks for full discussion. If you have any other questions, if you could send those to Lori regarding any other data that you would like to see. We heard a couple requests, but we will add to those if you need some more information. Does that sound fair? Okay.
Thank you. Thanks,
Lori. Lori, you're back up.
Jeff?
Yeah.
Okay. So, as we're getting ready, we're about hoping to post this week for the Assistant Superintendent for Finance and Facilities mm-hmm. and Operations. So, I'm going to give you a set of questions and hopefully take some feedback for you. Yeah. Wait. Those are the questions that I was going to ask. And then, there's a copy that has one on each page. Is that okay?
Drew takes a lot of notes.
So. Yeah, I'm going to take notes, so I'll be typing. So I won't be making a lot of eye contact, but I'm going to be listening. So one, things that we would like to gather from you as we build the criteria for this person. Because what we're trying to do is fit kind of a profile of what we need within the district for this particular position. So, in the past, when we've recruited for positions like this, part of what we do is have focus groups with, the finance committee, with members of the CSO staff who work within the finance office, with administrative staff, with teaching staff, with support staff. We'll have an open one for community members if they would like to come and give some input, just to get information from all different perspectives about what we need to look for when we're searching for this particular position. And then again, we build this criteria, and then as we screen and interview candidates, we're interviewing them against the criteria that's been built based on these focus groups. Make sense? Mm-hmm. And so what I'd like to do is I want to get it posted so I can start to get people applying, but once you post, you have to kind of have your process mm-hmm. moving along. So I was hoping that we could take a few minutes today that I could ask some questions and gather some information from the Finance Committee about what you'd like to see in this position. So I put some questions together that are in front of you. Is it all right if we start with number one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the first question...
The only thing I'd ask is, and again, I'm not picking on Lori, but this kind of stuff I'd rather get ahead of time.
Because
trying to come on mm-hmm. tonight, figure this out is... we talk about surprises, and not that it's a big surprise, but me trying to figure this out now.
Do you want to take it back and just send Lori and I an email with
totally
statements?
Yeah.
Well, would that work better? Because I absolutely get what Kurt's saying.
I agree with Kurt's point, but as long as we're all here,
do you want to chime?
Because there is value of hearing what Patrick says,
mm-hmm.
Anybody says. And then we can do the same. We can then, after this, enhance whatever we
We'll do a hybrid
today with emails.
That sounds good.
I want to clarify. My thought process was to push this to 2 weeks. I know you're on a time crunch, but we've known for a while now that Mr. Cicerello was leaving,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just getting this now. So I was not advocating that we go through emails. I'm just saying that
push it for 2 weeks.
This should be weeks. And again. I agree with you that it's this value for for me to hear some other thoughts from other board members as well. But and again, I'm just one person.
That would be, I can push it for 2 weeks.
That's fine.
Because we'll get the posting out, but we won't do any interviewing or screening until we haven't had a chance to talk. So because I need to have the posting set out there for about 2 weeks anyway.
Okay.
So if that's the committee would prefer, I'm fine with that.
That's the case, then. That's fine.
So good.
Is it going to go to finance, and then it's got to go to full board, and then it's
going to... Just finance.
Just finance, then no.
And actually, it doesn't even have to go to finance.
You're just
doing this.
You're just right? doing...
We don't have a procedure that says this has to
no.
go to finance. This is part of your staff.
Yeah, just trying to
yeah.
get good input. Point,
yeah.
Just trying to get input. That's all. Okay. So, thank you, Lori.
I'm not picking on...
Capital projects. Dave and Ron. Dave, you want to
We'll walk you through this.
Walk us through.
Yeah, tonight you guys should have in the packet the proposed capitals from 2016 to 2021. We're going to try and focus on 2016. The spreadsheet basically is a snapshot of all of our future projects and equipment shown for the next 5 years. The projects on the list are based on our age and obsolescence reports that were taken from our master plan that FGM completed, input from staff, and just kind of our building's ages and stuff that's breaking down. So these projects can also, we can move them. They can be adjusted to the board's desires as well as our budget and timeline. For example, if a project's not selected for this year, for any reason, we can move it to another year. We'll just, keep it intact, and then we can vet it out at that time. The anticipated costs that are in here are probably pretty accurate for this exercise. We base that on industry standards, and just from meeting with Ron and I, we put stuff together. There is stuff, though, that will probably have to be studied further down the road. We'll have to do roofing reports, and so there's probably going to be some additional costs here and there. However, now the last column on the spreadsheet, these are all pretty much larger dollar projects, and these are things that really aren't funded at this time. There's some big considerations out there. So they can be consolidated. We can consider them at a later date, as part of a project or recommendation from the task force committee. So those are just kind of out there, things that are coming due that we kind of need to know about. For the last 5 years, we spent about $1 million to $1.5 million on our capital projects. Also included in the spreadsheet are 13% soft costs. So a lot of the projects we have for this upcoming year, we really won't include that other than the probably some of the roofing things, because most of it is like equipment and vehicles and stuff like that, the software, so there's really not a soft cost for that. But when we do like library renovations, or there'll be architectural engineer fees, that sort of thing. So that 13% kind of skews our number for 2016, but it's just added in there so we can kind of have that as a baseline. I'm going to go up here. For 2016, the summer, we put together a PowerPoint just so you guys can kind of see some of the things that we're anticipating doing.
Before you go, can we just on your chart you gave us?
Sure.
Just some clarification things for me. So when you have 216, 217, so on, it's two, for a school year wise, it's 216, 217.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure everybody understands, because you see 216, we may think it's a budget item that we've already budgeted for. July 1 is what that date is.
Correct.
Through June 30th, 2017. And in your list that you have here, it seems like it's very close to the order that you're going.
Yeah, it should mimic it exactly. Yeah.
And I asked this in an email today. Is it the priority list?
For 2016, yes. It's okay. Pretty much things. There's a couple things at the very end that can kind of, it's discretionary. It needs to be done, but it's just, something. But the top few here are pretty much very important things.
Okay, and then when I think of priority lists, were there things that fell off your priority list? Or was this the all-inclusive for 216? Anything else, I just pushed to 17 and beyond.
But one of the items that we did was we were trying to do a LMC per year. We started with Lincoln. Mm-hmm. We were going to do it this year, but now that we're going to be looking at architects, it didn't make sense to try and start a project now, and then after we get through the interview process, if we do, so kind of have to pass the hat, and it just, so we moved that project further down the road. That's kind of how Ben Franklin got the double.
That was my other question.
Yeah.
Now I understand how it did.
Yeah, so thanks. That one went from there and then just got, pushed down. And the rest of the years, We have a lot of equipment that's kind of at the end of its age, rooftop units, VAV boxes. There's some big decisions to make over at Hadley, because we've got univents that are, pretty expensive, 1950 technology. We've got window air conditioning units, sucking up a lot of energy. So, those are things that we really need to study further and then decide how we want to do that. Because we could replace the window units one for one. but it's not very energy efficient. And I don't know if everybody, I talked to Dr. Gordon about the meeting we had at Lincoln. I don't know if you realized at 11 o'clock when the unit vents went off, how quiet the room got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how our classrooms are for the kids. They're just, you know, very loud. And, it, you know, they do an okay job of cooling, but it's not very efficient and not really good for the environment. So, Hadley, it'd be good to look at doing a ducted system, but that means pretty much running ducts all through that east wing, tearing down ceilings, just really, you know, doing a, it's going to be a big thing. So that's something that we need to study, but that equipment is coming due. It's getting at the end of its life. So we'll have to kind of study that. And who knows what the task force is going to come up. That'd be a perfect
Well, and that's something that I was going to say, maybe you talk to the task force about.
Right.
I noted, and I wrote that in my email too, there's 16 items on your list that have Hadley associated with them.
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, I think it should go in conjunction. I don't know that these should be, and a lot of them were in 2018/19, so it's kind of the timing
mm-hmm.
seems to be right. So I think when that, you know, in conjunction with their recommendation, these capital projects may be this ultimate priorities or mm-hmm. the timing of them. Priorities are probably still mm-hmm. the same, but the timing.
Right.
Probably gets altered with their January recommendation.
I would agree.
So that was the other thing I noted. But, and one last question. Sorry, I'm stopping
okay.
your presentation. But you made a reference to reports for roofing. So these recommendations that we have in front of us are based on last year's roofing surveys?
Yes, we're still continuing with Hadley. We still have to do some roof cores there, though, because they need to test out the location changed a little bit down. We downsized it a little bit to keep it in line with our budget.
That okay.
We've got $575,000 in there. Some of that may need to go for masonry and flashing things. So, but we're shooting for that $500,000 in roofing and then masonry work. So, but
yeah.
that we've got pretty much the studies completed.
Okay.
I think we just have to do the roof cores, but we need the approval to move forward with. You know, doing the next step. So we're ready to, we've got pretty much most of everything in the can. We just need to get, you know, some of the field testing completed
okay.
and the approval to move forward to go out to bid.
Thanks.
Now, Dave, would you say, I mean, if you're talking that on the priority list, that's 3, 4, 5, 6, that's the 7th item. How far down are you when you're prioritizing? When you said really some things that absolutely have to be done on this list, how far down are you thinking?
Did
you have a thought to that?
I mean, the roofing is kind of at the top of all of our list, but some of this other stuff, I mean, we don't have, I don't even want to say anything about leaks, but we're okay. It's just that the roofing is old. Some of these other items are just things that we really need to do. You know, we need to keep up on our tux cards. We've got vehicles that are, you know, 1999. We have repairs that are like almost $4,400, but the truck's not even worth that. So it just doesn't make sense to keep, you know, put money in. So for this year, some of these things are very important. I guess they're all equal, but you can't put everything at number one, so they kind of fall into place. You know, but roofing, that's why it's kind of a consistent through all the years, because we haven't done really any roofing other than we got a grant last year when we did Lincoln's roof as part of the new construction. So since I've been here in 2012, that's really been the only roofing. It was pushed off when we did the library at Hadley, and then we did the parking lot and then, you know, the new construction. So it's something that I think we need to just kind of budget something for every year and just continue that and look at it like that's an annual. We have a lot of roofs that, mm-hmm. you know, are getting old. So a lot of this stuff was done in 1998 with the old referendum. So we're getting to that point where we're going to need to seriously consider roofing every year.
Mm-hmm. So one of those pieces, Kurt, those last three at the end are obviously something that's a, you know, if the board had something for, you know, another $170,000-$180,000 that they want to move out, are lockers absolutely needed and have to have? You know, probably not. Probably not. So I think that's, yeah, yeah. They definitely need to be upgraded at some point. As principals look on at me like, really? But that's something that we would look at and that David and I have talked about.
So, Dave, I apologize. I know you probably won't get to your list. But with your 16 numbers, I just want to know what your next steps are. Is to your point, Paul, the lockers, I mean, that's almost $200,000 out of the 1.7, so mm-hmm. chunk. I want to make sure this discussion isn't a blessing of this number so you can start the budgeting process for 16. Is that...
Or right. This is just... I mean, right now we're just throwing all these projects out. And there are some things, though, that we really... that we're locked into doing, like the tux cards that we have. We started... It was a two-year process. We did last year $150,000. This year we're doing the completion of the project for $150,000. The fire panels is... They're dropping like flies.
We're doing those anyway.
Yeah, we're doing those. So some of that stuff needs to get done, and some of it is we really can't bid. We can bid the labor because it's proprietary, like the fire panels, the sound system. I mean, even the sound system, it's functioning. It's just that they don't make parts for it anymore. So there's things that can get moved around, or the board can decide what they want to do. These are just things that staff felt were kind of a need to do project list, but. By all means, this was, I mean, some of the things we will need approval for to go out to bid, but this is first to flush out and see with the direction with how the board wants to go. And like I say, we can move. The only thing I would say is like roofing, tux cards, and, probably the fire panels are really a must have for this year.
So we're kind of behind the eight ball on those fire panels, and, I won't try to anticipate what the prior finance committees used to do, but, I mean, that's, what we always want to do is look forward, right? We shouldn't be here saying we got to do fire panels because they're dropping like flies, right?
Right.
We should have had that thought. There should have been a capital budget that said, okay, in 15, 16, you guys are going to have to replace that.
They were in, and each year they just kept getting pushed down, taken out of the budget because since I've been here.
Okay, so
they've been in. It's just that we've done these other projects and they've gone out.
Now, right?
Well, one of them, a pipe leaked and it dripped. Unfortunately, the fire panel is right below all the plumbing, which is like we're moving it from there at Lincoln. But so water dripped on it and did it. A couple of these other ones were their ground fault issues where we're getting power surges. So it's just that they can fix it, but to get the parts.
It's just fire panels.
Right. Yeah. So fire panel security sound.
Is there anything in 18 and 19 where you're using your crystal ball? So, okay, we should probably look at this in 18 and 19 so we can have that thought process. Is there anything in here?
These are the list. I mean, in 18 and 19, these are the things that that we went through that are at the end of their age and obsolescence. So, like the Hadley, this year we had two window air conditioners. They're 14 or 15 years old right now. So we had two of them go out. And they're $1,400 a piece for a 3-ton window air conditioning unit that sounds like a semi-truck in the classroom. The thing just runs constantly, and it just, we've got 37 of them or whatever the number is there in the building. So they're just at that age where they're going to just start going. So we need to think about, so that's kind of a thing that's kind of at the top of the priority list. Playground equipment, same thing. We give it about a 15-year life expectancy.
Okay.
So we
did do that.
Right, so those are things that we kind of have to look at as well.
And for me, I look at it quite different. I look at it like when you have a useful life, that's great, but it's a useful life. You could go beyond that.
Correct.
You
could some things, right.
Significantly. Roofs are one of those. But the question I always have in looking at these repairs and disruptions that are caused when things are obsolete and can't replace them because you have a lightning strike or something like that. Hard to project, but if the new technology stops you from doing that, then there's an investment that you can make in that area pre-obsolescence or pre-it falling apart 100%. Because there's things to be gained, benefits to be gained.
Right.
Playground training, same thing. Because if you have better playground equipment, there's more for kids to do. There's a utility advantage to it. So there's something there. Roofs, you put a roof on, it's a roof. There's no big advantage except the insurance policy of having a major leak and that destroys drywall, computers, and all
right.
the rest.
Right.
And that's the fine line of putting the roofs off, because we have put the roofs on.
Mm-hmm. My thought was more is, when you were building this, you had the lens of, I gotta look. I mean, just because you put columns at 18, 19, you put some thought into it.
Correct. And I've tried to group things too in packages, because when we do go out to bid, if we have one small carpentry job and one roofing job and one, it's hard to bid all that. So we tried to group all the stuff with HVAC equipment and roofing and
well,
One other comment related to what you were saying, Joe, is that it's actually been packaged too with multiple things occurring on the roof. For example, the mechanical improvements that Dave was talking about, those will be done with that roof because we're going to be reconfiguring. So there has been quite a bit of thought going into the choreographing this particular roof.
And obviously that's important for kind of the scale and other things, not disrupting something you just put in. But the intriguing thing when you talk about HVAC systems that you did and you're going to study them, I mean, there is upside to putting those things in. There's benefit. There's, you know, the efficiency of whatever electricity or whatever your gas, whatever's fueling it to operate it, plus the better environment you're creating. And that's the study you said you guys are going to go
correct. And, you know, half of Hadley is heated with steam, which is, I mean, it's great, but it's also not so great for repairs, and it's very hard to control. It's, you know, when you have a mild day, that boiler could just radiate in heat, you know, so they're dying. So it's just something that we need to look at. Ben Franklin, part of the school, has got steam there, too. So there, you know, it's just our technology is kind of old, and it's just not good for them.
So is that program, I mean, this isn't the flash and glory of schools and all that, but are you building a heating, I don't know what the vernacular is, heating HVAC program and life cycle presentation to say for 5 to 15 years, these are the things that we need to do that tie into these piecemeal projects? Is that what that's going
to
be?
I think so, because and this is one of the things that needs to be studied further, because we can show you what the initial cost is and then what the benefit is back to the school.
And that's going
to
be
cost
per
savings.
School and
correct.
Franklin has steamers and Hadley has
right.
Nuclear.
We can point all that out and all the other. You talked about doing
it's nuclear.
Some drawings and showing what the classroom will look like. You know, it's a because we're going to have to take ceilings down and put ductwork in, but it's going to be a much more efficient
system.
See,
I think, from my perspective, that's the program I'd like to see. That's a mentality for me that says, okay, you have a capital project, you have a capital plan, and how you slide these window units into it, that's what you do,
right?
But we know at a high level you're marching toward this goal in 5 to 7 years to get rid of steam at Ben Franklin, and this is how we're going to do it.
Right.
Well, it sounds like you're on the process, and I have some experience with Dave from the park district, so I know actually how you operate, and I know efficiency is one of them. So, but I guess for me, you don't have a lot of time, but we're looking at 16, and you know, I know that you're going to probably put those together for the future. So, I guess for me, if we can get moving on that. 16 part of it.
Let's go.
Fly.
Let's go.
Start clicking.
So this year we're looking at replacing two of the vehicles. You can see the top corner. That's one of our beauties. and this is the bottom one that we just replaced this year. So we got the utility box on it. It's got a lift gate on it now. It should last a very long time. This is one of the panels that got the ground fault. You can't really tell, but it's burned there. And that Simplex fire plant panel too, that's like that's very old technology. So we were looking at replacing two fire panels. We had three on there, but I think we're going to have to do Lincoln's now. We're in the process of getting, there's another trouble in there that we just can't clear. So those are those projects looking, that would be done probably later in the summer. If everything stays in, I'm just going to talk like this is what's going, but I'm not saying that's what we have to do. So next slide. So this one is not on your thing. Dr. Gordon and I were talking about this the other day. We clear so many sidewalks, and all we have are little paddle snowblowers. And I'm going to figure out how many. I bet you we're a couple miles of sidewalks that we have within the district that we either hand shovel or use a walk-behind snowblower with. So it would be nice to get, especially for Hadley, because they have such a big area and such a short time. People get there early in the morning. This is a salt spreader that goes on the back, so it's got a V plow on it that can make a V or plow angles or whatever you need it to do. So this would be something, you know, that I'd like to get probably at a couple of the schools. Some of the smaller ones we probably wouldn't need it, but whether it's in capitals or regular budget, this is maybe something you need to start just to think about. So,
Dave, is there? I know that the park district does some mowing, right?
Yeah, they mow
is
all
there,
the.
Is there any field. Possibility? Yeah, I mean, I know you know what their ability is to handle things. I mean, is there any possibility for them to actually handle the plowing part of it, or at least?
That's something we could, you know, it's not in the intergovernmental agreement, but I mean, that I wouldn't mind. We could sit down and talk to them and see what, you know, because before I left, this is, we bought one of these for, and they use it on Lake Ellen and for grooming ice, and it really is a great piece of equipment. Because you can either, instead of the plow, you can get a broom on the front of it too. Mm-hmm. And it's a quick change, so you go from a plow to a broom, and so you can plow the sidewalk and then broom it and salt it and kind of all be done instead of. It takes the guys a long time to do our sidewalks, you know, and plus they have to do their janitorial stuff, you know, inside the, mm-hmm. open the classroom or open the school and get ready for that. So
it seems to me, just walking around the buildings, in the winter, there's a lot, it's got to take them a lot longer to clean the buildings because you're bringing in a lot of slop, you're bringing
right.
in salt. So in my world, maybe that's something we could take a look at, but if we could offload that to the park district, with whatever agreement we can come up with, then that it allows the janitors to do what they do.
Right, correct. No, I can definitely work on that. So
it'd be interesting to see if they have enough equipment, because the issue you have is timing in the morning.
Oh, they got equipment. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, that's good.
That's why I said I
if they have enough equipment.
I sense that they
yeah.
Then it's just personnel, or if you could borrow it, because it's part of your intergovernmental agreement. Because the whole thing with snow plowing is it's the amount of time it takes to get done at the right time of day.
Right, and that's the thing. If you get a late morning snow, you know,
everybody does it at the same time.
Yeah, it's hard, you know, especially with the now we're allowing teachers to come in at 6:45. We've got before school programs 6:30, 6:45. So in a perfect world, you know, we need 2 hours at least to do all the sidewalks. So we need that snow between 3 and 4 in the morning. Doesn't always.
Is that how you order it?
Yeah, right. Yes, we try.
Well, you can do private contracting as well.
Yeah, we do. With some of our lots, we do have that, and they do offer sidewalk clearing. But I just don't know how that, because when they come and do it, it may be at 1 or 2 in the morning, you know, when it's first snowing, and then it's not ready when we need it in the morning. So like we kind of held off on that. But I may experiment with the school and just see how they do, you know, for one of those. And then
yeah, you hold that care about that.
Right, and see if it works, then, you know, we definitely do that. But this is just something to dream and say. So.
You can look at the park district.
Yeah, okay. The next one is the two sound systems that we have left. We started this year, we replaced 3 of them. People don't believe, but a lot of our stuff does have tubes in them, and this technology is really old. You can't get parts for it anymore, so it's worked out well at the other schools, so we're looking to replace that. That also, same thing, that's proprietary equipment, but we can still go out to bid for, you know, labor to install it, but it's kind of a select. Usually what happens, the electrician will get the sound system, you know, if we get it through Rollin, they won't install it, they'll call one of the electricians, so it's they're kind of, it's a hard thing.
Is that tube thing ever been on your list before and get pushed?
We've had, all this stuff has been
down. It looks like some of these things should have been replaced.
Yeah, I mean, this too, I think, was put in 1990s. Yeah, some of it's really old stuff. So. Tux cards, this is what we started last year.
Do we have a contract to do this?
We do, yeah. This is just, I didn't know if everyone, because we talk about this stuff, and I don't know if people get to see it. So this is the new software that we have. So on our computers and smartphones and tablets, we can look at what's going on in the rooftop unit. These two little boxes are the Tux cards. It sends a signal up to the rooftop, and everyone's hot for it. So it's all good. So this will be our second year that gets locked in. Over at Churchill's, after we do finish the new classrooms, these are the portables that are in the front of the school. That's going to get removed. There is an existing parking lot underneath that. However, there under each portable unit, there's 36 24-inch by 48-inch concrete piers that have to be removed. So that parking lot will be kind of like Swiss cheese, as long as all these yellow bollards too will have to get pulled out. So this $144,000 is for replacement up there with it. The purple lines are.
That wasn't in the project cost?
No, because I think when all the budgeting was done, this section wasn't part of it. And when they did phase three, the asphalt work was not. It was in the other project, but not in this portion of it. So, over at Ben Franklin, this was the changing room that we did over the summer. So we're looking at doing the ADA bathroom on the other side. We call it the Jack and Jill. Turning that into, so this classroom and the classroom right behind it would be able to use the ADA to
toilet and they take down the wall, put a ADA toilet sink and grab bars, changing station, all in that room.
I had a question on that. And I was going, I didn't have a chance to, so I'm going off of memory a little bit, but I thought the initial project cost for that when we delayed it a year was $50,000. And then I had a $70,000 figure, and now it's at $90,000.
When last year, that is kind of true. When it first started out, they were estimating it would be around $50,000. And then at that time of the year, it was kind of very late spring. Although they got some pricing on it, and the pricing was pretty much astronomical. But we do have to look at, there's some other things that we're probably going to have to contend with. There's some asbestos removal. So plus this, with all the engineering architects fees, that's included in there. But that's kind of what the number ended up really rounding out to be. So they actually, last year, it did go up as high. It was a little over $100,000 to do that one space. That's why we decided to pull it and not move forward and just kind of get the changing station down there. So,
and that leads to my next question. You know, with some of these things, I almost wonder, you know, when I look at the kids that we have in the building, the needs that they have, and I think about the age of that building, I start to wonder if staff shouldn't have some conversation before, you know, I noticed here and then with the playground, if staff shouldn't have some conversation about, is that the best building to put those kids in? You know, all the buildings are older, but Franklin is really old. So, you know, and I'm sure that of all the buildings, that building absolutely had, you know, no idea for special needs kids back in the day. You know, it just wasn't thought of, so the law wasn't in place. So I almost wonder if that's maybe, for me, a conversation to see from a facility standpoint, if you guys take a look at it, to see if really before we start to put this money in there, and as we're bringing more kids back, is Franklin the proper facility for that? You know, so right. that's again just my thought process. But.
Okay. This is the roofing work that we talked about. These are the areas we're gonna bid. The orange color is an alternate, so we're gonna try and, as the base bid, do the yellow and then the orange, and see kind of where the dollars come back. And if we can do more roofing, we will. Otherwise, we're constant. This is the area that we're working off of last year as well. This is at Churchill School in the front of the school, that triangle of turf. There's so many kids, it's so congested. The kids are all over the turf there. It gets muddy into the building. So the principal at Churchill was asking that we could remove that turf and just concrete that whole area so that they can line up the kids better and they just have a better flow in the main entrance to the building there. So that also, this one we could, we do have Elliott Construction is working at Churchill. They're doing our flat work from Glen Elmer. So this is something that we could talk to them about too and get pricing if the board decides to do this, since they're on site there. So we could get that taken care of probably right when school gets out or, you know, in the summertime. So.
Dave, is that in Churchill, it's designed somewhat like Lincoln. Are all the kids, do they just go in through a couple of doors now? Instead into their classroom?
Some of them go in the back of the building, but the majority of them do go into the front here. So.
Is there a reason why, at those two buildings, why we're sending the kid, and you probably won't know the answer to this, but we have doors that, you know, that go directly into the classroom, and they were designed that way. It seems to me, and I don't know that anybody's, maybe I've never asked it, but I don't know that anybody's explained it. For years, we had the kids go right into that classroom and line up outside that. Now we're...
Right. Well, I do know,
have to, yeah, do it that way. But
Forest Glen, they go into some of the rooms, correct? No, they're all...
They all come in.
Okay, so...
Is there a reason for that? Why they don't go directly into their classroom?
I don't do it because it brings in the dirt and the mud and the gunk and the, you know, it's, and then the custodian has to go in every classroom and clean up all the water. Which you just funnel them into the main entrance where you have more rugs. It absorbs that and it's safer.
Aren't the janitors cleaning most rooms each day anyways?
They are, but they would have to go in during the day when the kids are, when
wouldn't
the
construction
is taking place.
So how do we do it for 50 years?
I don't
Okay. I mean, I know you're answering my question. I appreciate that.
I mean, that's my reason.
Dave, how many more slides?
One more. Maybe another six or eight.
All right, we'll go quickly.
This is the new playground equipment for Churchill. This lower drawing here, that's the new soft play area that's going in behind the building. One of the sets when we first started the construction was more than 15 years old, so we just ripped that one out knowing that we would need to get something new. So, and we're kind of looking at doing some stuff that this lower corner is not the exact set, but something that's naturescape, some logs, something like that. So that'll be needed for the summer as well. Okay. Portable classroom. This money is for the demolition of. We have to pay to have them hauled off. We have to dismantle it. They separate it there. They build walls, and we have to remove all the cabling all the way back to our MDF room and IDF rooms. ADA playground upgrades. This is over at Ben Franklin School, and actually, out of all the playgrounds, Ben Franklin is probably, it's got the most poured in place rubber for wheelchair access. So we would just be adding, this is a new piece that came out. The wheelchair can come up to the side. They can transition on it, get inside there. It rocks. It gives them a little sensory stuff. The bottom picture is the poured in place rubber. We look at adding a little bit more so they could get around the equipment a little bit better and then add some more ground play features and then wheelchair access.
You're saying they don't have that now, right? Wheelchair access.
Ben Franklin does.
They do have wheelchair access?
Yes, they do.
Because yeah. I thought when we were there, Steph, was that? Did I?
It's that new concrete walk that was put in. It goes directly onto the PIP surface.
But then the playground, they can't. It's a mall, so they can't.
Well, that's. But they can. It just needs to be maintained better. So that's an issue that we need to take care of. But wood chips is wheelchair accessible if it's maintained and compacted. So.
Yeah, because I thought when we were there, and I knew somebody there, I can't remember what staff person, somebody said there was an issue with getting the kids out on.
Yeah, there is one entrance there, so we'd be looking at adding a second area. These are some sensory panels that would be going in for ground play features, and then this is the new ADA swing. And some of these other panels, we're going to try and put in a couple of the other playgrounds as well. These are the locker upgrades. So there's a before and after picture. What we have is, it's kind of hard to tell, but this is a single point latch system. That blue locker there is what we have, the combination in it, and they put a reinforcement plate in there, and then we don't have to have padlocks anymore. Because they get lost, kids put them in upside down. And the locker's in pretty good shape. We need to be painted. Ben Franklin's are, a lot of them are the original lockers. They really need to be replaced, but we can electrically static paint those, and they will turn out pretty good. So, and this is the soft cost that we already talked about. That's it.
Way to go. 7:30. Look at you.
Maybe we can have Dave come back at the next meeting to go through, maybe for some more questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, and Dave, thank you. I appreciate it.
So one question real quick. This information, not everybody on the board is getting this information, right? It just goes to finance.
Which one?
The finance package just goes
no.
to finance.
No. Everybody has access to that. It's all on board. Yeah, it's all on board. Okay, everybody has access to everything that the board has.
Just the stuff that's on the agenda.
Yeah. The stuff that we handed out tonight.
Did you get a copy of this?
Or did
you
get a copy of the board?
Okay. Yeah.
So on the last item, are we going to go over it now? Or
we'll just do it in, I'll just add it into my.
So
yeah.
Okay.
So we'll just go there.
Sounds good. Thanks. All right.